Coming right up, a flu-battered Arnab talks about the Delhi riots and media coverage on it. Hi, this is Attention Please with Arnab Ray, episode 75, recorded on the 1st of March 2020, and I'm Vikram Mohan. On WhatsApp Geeks podcast, this week we tracked the fallout of the coronavirus outbreak in the tech world and discuss early S20 reviews and the top 10 phones in 2019. So look for WhatsApp Geeks on your podcast player. And now, your host Arnab Ray. Hey Arnab.
Hello everyone. My voice might sound a little off because, and there's a good reason for that. Some of you, for the last about 1 week, I've kind of been off social media because I've been very sick, and which meant that my mentions have all exclusively been for Arnab Goswami now for the last 1 week. And it was very heartening to see that other than one person, nobody really cared that I was as not on social media, which just goes, which is a good way of, you know, you need to get these doses of reality to see how irrelevant your opinions actually are, that nobody really cares that that there has not been a single tweet for me for about a week or so. Anyways, so I'm still not tweeting. There's no other reason for that, but I'm still not totally recovered. And it's just very, very high temperature, and I don't recollect having been this sick for a long time. And last time I was this sick was 2008, so it's been a while that I've been this sick. So that was one of the reasons why I didn't comment. And another reason that I didn't comment was, which is equally important, was the need not to comment on a developing story, especially when something is as serious as what was going on in Delhi. Given the absolute lack of responsibility being shown by several of our media personages and, of course, influencers on Twitter. And, of course, you can say, you know, why would anybody expect any responsibility from them? And that's a good question. But, and you can say, why would anybody expect responsibility from the media either? But somehow old habits die hard, and you would expect that that there would be some level of responsibility, and there was none, including Wall Street Journal carrying absolutely a bit of fake news, which they later corrected, about the religion of one of the perpetrators. It was just unbelievable, and this kind of thing happens. This is Wall Street Journal, by the way. We're not talking about Sudarshan News here. This is happening because of the staff that they hire, and the ideological slant of their staff, that everybody has decided, even while the riot is going on, and I'm coming to that. So what has struck me, again, this is no rocket science, is of course the sheer inhumanity of it all. And one could say, well, tell us something original here. Of course, it's inhuman, and any communal riot is inhuman. When you have somebody being stabbed allegedly 400 times, and you have, you know, visuals of mosques being climbed and desecrated with flag in hand. You know, these are extremely disturbing. These are the worst of the worst, and they definitely show a lack of humanity. You have this heartrending video of this old Muslim man crying because his entire house has been burnt and destroyed, and tear gas cylinders lobbed into his house. And of course that is there, that lack of humanity is there. But then there are people who are not rioting, and who are in social media. There may be many of them media persons, and many of them are normal people like you and me. And the real lack of humanity was in the timelines of these people, media people or influencers, because there was only one single side. It's either that one-sided violence being committed by Hindu and Hindu fascists on Muslims. It's either that. Any other story does not occur on their timeline. And on the other side, there is only pictures of Shah Rukh waving a gun. Only pictures of what happened to Ankit Sharma. There is absolutely nothing about the other side. So there are two threads. Of course, with respect to mainstream media, it's virtually consistent that it is only one narrative. It is the only narrative is that it is a one-sided pogrom on Muslims. That's it. There is no other scope. And this is again the centrifuge effect. Normally, the centrifuge effect is serious, but it's not this serious. But while a communal riot is going on. While a communal riot is going on, and in today's day and age, where people do look at Twitter, where some of it is being fueled, this is a continuous feedback loop. This kind of showing their own audience, and each of them have their audience, each of them the echo chamber. They're unwilling to show, they're unwilling to acknowledge the humanity of the other side, and this goes for both sides. And anybody who also says both sides is then pilloried by one side by saying both sides, you are standing on the side of fascists. So this is some kind of extremism, the hypocrisy being the people who are being extremists are saying we're doing it for peace. You're not. When you decide in a commonly charged atmosphere, I understand everybody has their biases, everybody has their opinions, and that's fine. But when something like this is going on, the fact that people, not one person, but number of people would selectively winnow out anything, any incident that does not fall within their worldview, or worse, cast doubt or cast aspersions on it. It just boggles my mind. It just boggles my mind to see where we have come as a society. So let's say you have on one side, you know, there's if you want to look at, for instance, anything with respect to Ankit Sharma, there are some timelines in which you will not even find that thing. There are places in which the fact that arms have been accumulated in his house is justified as saying, well, what are Muslims going to do? This is the, you know, what they this is a self-defense, apparently. How is a self-defense, you know, taking a guy from IB and stabbing him 400 times? Is there's no proof that he was part of the rioters. So it's not just that you are carrying one side of the story. Of course, media people have a responsibility, and their responsibility is more. But even for normal people, it just gets to show that the division that we have in the country today, it's almost unbridgeable division that we have in this country today. On facts, on things which are happening right now. We're not talking about things which happened during the reign of Tipu Sultan and stuff, or what happened during Babri, you know, where Babur brought down the temple or anything. You know, we're talking about what's happening right now. We're talking about this almost surreal duality of the truth that is manifest just by going through different timelines. You open two tabs of two browsers, and you'd see, and you wouldn't recognize that they're talking about the exact same thing that's happening at the same place at the same time. And this for me is possibly the worst thing about a communal riot, and it's much more pervasive than what just happened in Delhi today, in the last few days. So we have on one side, you know, we have a total suppression of Muslim attacks on Hindus. On the other side, we have an absolute, the exact same kind of partisanship on the other side, where there was a video posted of a Hindu mob going and planting a saffron flag on a mosque. That video was immediately, there were other videos which came up, which were taken from attacks done previously in Bihar, trying to debunk that video. While that was going on, there were people trying to, for some strange reason, like this part, I mean, I understand why, of course, because people don't want to accept the fact, but people can just go there and see that it's happened. This is happening right now in Delhi. It's not happening in some place where, you know, the moral compass of everybody gets demagnetized. This is a place where everybody can go. So you have at the same time this group of people trying to say that has not happened. This boggles my mind. I mean, I understand hatred, like everybody does. I understand Islamophobia, I understand Hinduphobia, I understand all of it. But to see, and by the way, again, this is being done by the other side also, where everything that happened to Ankit Sharma is being caught into doubt. It's a false flag operation. BJP must have done it. Everything. Okay, that guy, AAP legislator, whatever, he was not actually there. It was somebody else using his house disguised as him to do all of this. So it's like people will come up with the most outrageous things to dehumanize the other person. Rather than accept that, yes, this guy did this, doesn't mean that the other guys didn't do that, that both of them are wrong. People have to have a black and white thing that everything that our side did was right and everything that the other side did was wrong. And of course, anybody with half a brain knows that's not the way communal rights work. And this was a classical communal right in the sense that you had both sides being involved and you had both sides being mobilized. And coming to that, you know, you have, again, in any kind of communal right, the biggest problem is the involvement of the police. It has always been the involvement of the police, and it is right that without police support. So there are two kinds of when we say police involvement, there are two kinds. One is the police themselves are, and somebody, some people, and you can say rightfully are, they don't want to get involved because of their own safety. And police aren't brave. They're not going to stand in front of a, you know, horde of hundreds of people. They're just not. There's been repeated reports of people asking the police and the police saying, we have no orders to do anything. This is, you know, go through any kind of riot judicial commission and you'll find this exact same line from everybody. There's no order. Of course, there is. Of course, this is silly to the extreme. If a police doesn't require, you know, somebody to order them to do something if they see a crime being committed in front of them. So of course, there is nothing known as being given an order. The reason why they don't want to do anything is firstly their own safety. Secondly, they don't know what the current political dispensation actually wants them to do. So they take the path of least resistance, which is not doing anything. In many cases, it's not just the police. Again, there are multiple reports. So again, another side will totally deny this. But once the number of people saying this, you know, reaches a certain number, you have to wonder, you know, you have to say, okay, basically this happened. You have police being part of the rioters. And that has also, again, this is also not unique. And one would say that this is really the primary reason why riots happen is because the policing is ineffective, that they're either undermanned, just not willing to risk their lives for this. And many people will say, why should police be expected to take mob pelting? Why shouldn't they run? And this is a good point. Why will the police stand? But the fact is that is part of being police. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I mean, this is not. I will never buy the logic that the Gandhian with guns logic. People who pelt stones have to be taken into custody. Okay, there's the police have to be protected, but the alternative isn't that the police stay at home and don't come out because people are pelting them with stones. That's also not right. And that's not the role of the police. So again, we have besides, of course, this partisanship, which again, it should not be surprising for those of us who follow the Indian media or the Indian social media. But it's just sometimes that you tend to forget. You hope that on days like this, that people can kind of go beyond their partisanship to kind of come together, at least on these days, at least while people are dying. But that also doesn't happen. You know, when people are dying, people bring out their worst. So you see people not just selectively using their influential status to spread news. but also denying the humanity of the other side. And this has been done by both sides, which I don't think anybody can claim the moral ascendancy here. The only thing is that the side which uses the word fascism on the other side has perhaps a semantic advantage. So even if somebody tries to, like I am saying, trying to equate both, they will say, you know, by doing this, I'm actually I'm on the side of fascists. So this is and possibly the other side will call me a dhimmi. So it just works both ways. So it's a very difficult thing. So this is another good reason why I didn't comment while I was sick and while the story was going on. But this is a good day as any to comment on it. And the thing is, the reality of a riot never really changes from a state to state. So it's really a case of, there is, in India, there is no notion of, I mean, people like to talk about majority and minority. Ultimately, everybody is in a minority of one. In a place where the police cannot be trusted, in a place where you don't know where, if you talk to the police, if the police will take the lathi and start beating you up, where you have no trust, nobody has any trust in the police. I mean, somebody will say, oh, I had a great experience with the police. That's a one-off. That's like, you know, that's like dealing with the Joker. You know, it said that, you know, the Joker, if you deal with him, he can give you $100 or he can kill you. So it's the thing with dealing with our police is like that. So nobody wants to deal with the police. So in a case, you have these strengths, these communities, which then feel the need to arm themselves. And normally people don't arm themselves, but they realize that, and especially in these areas, these are poor areas. These are not the posh areas of Delhi. These are one of the most poorest parts of Delhi. And you have communities, many of them migrants, many of them who are newly moving there, you know, creating, you know, making their new shops, displacing other people from there. So there's a lot of friction going on, which is not religious, but there is friction. There is friction of, you know, people, limited resources, a lot of people, migrants coming in, trying to displace the local population, new kinds of stores coming in. There's a resentment from the old power centers as the new power centers come in. So there's a lot of things going on. These kind of societies are, in any case, tinder boxes. And religion is just a very small part of it. Unfortunately, people see things through the prism of religion. It's not, religion is actually a small part of the overall friction that goes on in this kind of urban development. So, and you have these new politicians. The ARP is creating this new set of local identity politicians whose power is stemming from the identity, and that's exactly what we see with the death of Ankit Sharma. We see these are new names that I've never heard of before, which are coming up in an extremely violent way, you know, pushing out against Hindu majoritarian identities. You have a very, very strong now Islamic majoritarian identity pushing up. I won't say majoritarian in that case. Identity pushing up, who are not scared, or who are extremely militant and, you know, straightforward. So this is again the word tinderbox. You know, sounds dramatic, but it is, and that's exactly what we have seen. We have seen, you know, armed gangs of Hindus go up against armed gangs of Muslims. Both of them well prepared. It's true. The communal riots don't happen. They're done. You know, they're organized. It's a pretty well organized and pre-planned endeavor. And people just don't spontaneously. I mean, some people spontaneously aggregate, but there is a core which is coordinated always. Otherwise, you know, even with a Bollywood flash mob, it's never really a flash mob, right? So again, the dynamics of communal violence is always like that. So in this case, this is classic communal violence, and again, we've had a long and tragic history of this. And the core of it is, again, the police force. If there's anybody accountable, it is the police force. It is the police force, which is under the Home Ministry. You know, it doesn't really matter whether it's Hindu versus Muslim. Ultimately, the buck stops with the Home Ministry. The buck stops with Amit Shah, who controls the police. This is a monumental failure of the police. Again, this is any state where there has been communal violence, it usually is the same villain. It's the police. And last day I saw that there was, you know, huge contingents of police walking up and down, and the streets were peaceful because the police looked like they were in control. There were a large number of police. There were obviously very senior members of the police there. They were not the, you know, normal, not the guys who with the lathis there walking about. You have full IPS officers walking about. Everybody is very conscious. And, you know, that point of time, there is no problem. It's what happens before that. And this is where there is genuine concern as to why does this take the Delhi, why did it take, this is, again, the Delhi government doesn't control the police. So why does it take the Home Ministry 5 days for them to bring out their heavy guns out on the street? Ultimately, you have to remember that the rioter is only powerful in a group. As a single person, he is in a minority. So the moment they see the police in full regalia, phat jata hai sabka. That still is true. Nobody can, as a person in India especially, can take on the might of the state, for good or for bad. We all know that. So the emboldening comes when the state does not make its presence felt. And that, again, has, it's again the reason why it doesn't happen. We all know why it doesn't happen, because the state does not want to piss off its constituents. And in a way, let's accept it, polarization helps the BJP. I've said this multiple times, this whole anti-CA agitation, the biggest beneficiary of this is the BJP. The kind of inflammatory remark that comes from in the Waris Pathans of the world, or, you know, that cutting off of the Northeast, that guy, what a Sharjeel, forgotten his name, Sharjeel Ahmed or something. And this kind of rhetoric is exactly what BJP and its sympathetic media wants. So there really has been no disincentive for the BJP in this case to stop it. Should Kapil Sharma and all of these people be arrested? Yes, I think they should be. I think it's very important that hate speech, again, will something happen? No. But at least people who have engaged in hate speech, they should have FIRs filed against them. The government has to take some action, nominal, even if it is court ka chaki, and then after 5 years they will go, whatever. That we all know that is what's going to happen. But at least that has to be done. Okay, people cannot just in this day and age, you know, go and say goli maro saloko. That goli maro saloko is the problem. You can't say that. That is classic hate speech. You know, ask that. I mean, there is no other explanation for that except violence. I mean, it's not even a double meaning thing. There is only one meaning there. The final thing that I wanted to talk about was, of course, the actual deporting. I had the, you know, chance to see some of the reporting on the ground, and we had a very prominent media maven from our favorite great channel who was reporting when, using his very own words, the minority crowd, they started pelting stones at him. And guess what he does? He moves his camera away. He raises his hand and says, "Nahi, nahi, hum nahi dikhayenge," and all that. Okay. You can say either he was, because it was the minority crowd. There's no other way. There's no other thing, right? He immediately moved his camera away when he sees that the narrative that channel runs is being undermined in front of his very eyes. This is the level of partisanship that these people show while a riot is going on. They're scared to show the truth. They're scared to show the truth because it will piss off their viewers. And what it reminded me instantly was, it reminded me of a colleague of him, of this person from another channel, who went into a booing crowd and held one of them by the collar. And I had remarked at that point of time years ago that this person has dared to do this. because that guy was that person, that great journalist, had been provoking the crowd continuously. And the only reason why he had dared to do so was because he was in the US. I had said that if he, that I challenge him to go and do this to a Mayawati crowd or to a Mamata Banerjee crowd or to any other like mass leader crowd, to an Amit Shah crowd, go and do this level of unglibazi there and see what happens to you. Okay, they wouldn't dare. They, one stone comes from that crowd and he asks his cameraman to move the thing away. Again, not the same guy, not the same guy, but they come from the same political persuasion. So the fact about this, the reason why he could do this in the US was because that guy was, you know, he's a professional guy. He will be too cowed to react, right? Right? He can only do narebazi from behind. If somebody comes and holds his collar, he will get scared. Because if he knows that if he touches him, then his H-1B is in danger. So he would not dare do it. So of course he knows that. So this kind of double standard that they know exactly who to provoke, when to take the camera away, and where to go and show their mardangi. They know exactly this. This kind of cynicism is just oh man, I and by the way, collar grabbing, you know, Sultan of Madison Square, he himself did one of his post riot shows, where the thing was that he went to this community where it was obviously it was the majority were Muslims, and he kept on asking this guy, whose store was this? And this guy actually says, he basically says, look, I get what you're trying to get. You're trying to get me to say who the religion of the guy is. No, I'm not going to tell you whose store it was. It was all our stores because we were the ones who used to use it. And so don't go there. That person very gently basically told this person. And I was shocked that while a communal riot is going on, why is he asking these questions? I mean, I understand that the truth is to be found out, but now, like this, while there are violent incidents going on, you're trying to say, I'm here. Look, this shop was owned by so-and-so. I mean, what is this? I mean, is there no oversight going on? This is rank irresponsibility. I mean, forget your politics. Forget your politics. You have a responsibility as somebody who's part of a television channel who has this amount of reach. That responsibility has to be there. You cannot, while a riot is going on and it's still not solved, you cannot go out to places and point out stores and ask people whose religion, what is the religion of the shop owner, when it's obvious that the people there, and that's the heartening thing, that you see that the people there at least have that common sense, that this is not are those people, I mean, the cynic in me knows that it's not that all of those guys are really suffused with bhaichara. But at least they, being Indians, they know that, look, on this day at least, let's, bohot ho gaya. Ab let's try to move past this. I mean, that's one of the great things about Indians, is that we tend to move past things. We don't keep things. Even when there's no choice, actually. We can't keep things. It's the spirit of Mumbai kind of thing, right? You know, there is no spirit. It's like, what else are you going to do? So I definitely agree that riots don't happen. They're made. And the condition for riots, they do remain. And I don't buy the thing that we used to read in the textbooks that, you know, that India is like characterized by communal amity and everybody's kumbaya and everybody dancing around the tree of unity. If you remember that advertisement, do you remember, Vikram, the tree of unity dance?
Rings a bell, but I don't remember that at all.
So these guys used to like dance around the tree of unity, and there was this one evil person who would come and they'll go ka ka ku ku ku, and they will prevent him from cutting that tree. So again, it was this is possibly before your time, but the fact is, this is not the way the world works. Especially in, you know, it might work for people of privilege, but the places that we are looking at are not places of great privilege. So there is a very, very gentle, there's a very weak peace that is maintained. And people, they realize that there's a very, very fragile balance where expressions of identity, you know, about who you are, your religion, and your politics need to be balanced with the need for assimilation. That there is both. That there are some lines you can cross and some lines which you can't cross. And sometimes they do cross that line, but they also know that, okay, now that I've crossed the line and I've made my point, it's now my time to get back into my corner, because ultimately I have to live in this place. The thing with the media is they don't have to live in those places. They are the archetype of the outsider. They have absolutely no investment. They have no skin in the game with respect to the places that they're covering or the implications of what they're saying. They're truly external people who are doing it either for TRP reasons or for their own politics or because they sincerely believe. And sometimes that is perhaps the most dangerous thing, is they sincerely believe in the BS that they themselves sell. So for me, summing up, again, it's a very tragic week. So many lives lost, and some of the violence is just, sounds kind of over dramatic to say that, you know, it shocks some people. Why are you still shocked? I mean, you're just saying this to be kind of be performative, but no, it indeed is shocking when you see what was done to Ankit Sharma. It's not just, you know, killing. I mean, you can say killing someone, but the way the kind of hatred, this is not political violence. This is immensely personal, and the fact is, it's one thing. I hope the perpetrators will be brought to book. I hope perpetrators on all sides will be brought to book, but ultimately, what will happen to this country? What will happen to people who are unable to tweet what's happening on the other side? Who are unable to tweet because they don't want to read about it, because they don't want their followers to know about it, because they feel that if they do it, then what they're saying will be proven wrong. Because they're so invested in what the truth is, even before it has happened, that anything that is not what they believe, they will either doubt it. There's always a market of people now who want to debunk everything that comes out, often with another wrong thing. So there is now, you know, alt news, alt cube news, alt 4 to the power 4 news. So this will go on. So there will always be somebody who is there to feed your either sense of belief or disbelief based on whichever what the event is and how you want to interpret it. And perhaps this riot possibly brought this to my notice in a way more dramatically than I have seen before. I haven't seen this level of misinformation and this level of partisanship before while something is going. The last thing is, again, I would request people that when communal riots go on, shut the fuck up. Okay, don't talk. Just listen at that point of time. There's so much misinformation going on. Some of it from the media organizations happen because of the commercial need to be breaking, to be the first person reporting. So there is no independent verification. They just listen to some guy and they just carry it. Okay. There's nothing we can do about the media. They will do whatever they want. But for people who want to consider themselves sensible, you know, please resist the urge to spread news while a communal riot is going on, even if the source seems to be verified. And many of the sources are not verified. You know, observe, listen. Mm-hmm. Don't spread, you know, because there's absolutely nothing good can come out of talking while a communal riot is going on. And this is, of course, even more important if you're an influencer. And everybody knows that. So, you know, if you're a guy with one follower, maybe you can go and say whatever you want. But if you're an influencer and if people count on what you say, then it's very important. And yes, sure, if you want to carry messages of peace, if you think that's fine, generic. But resist the urge to share things which have not been confirmed. Whether it's whether the mosque is in Ashok Vihar or Ashok's, what was the other place that there was this typo in the original print thing. You know, there's, before writing something, you know, just look at where you're saying it is, right? You know, this, if you say something in Dover Lane versus Dover Terrace, you know, in Calcutta, they sound similar. But if you say there's a riot going on here and actually it's going on somewhere else. So, you know, it's very important you get the places right. And this again happens when you're trying to first put it out on social media and get the RTs and stuff. That's exactly what happens. Now, this is okay when you're reporting on India Fashion Week or you're reporting on Karan Johar's latest Netflix thing. That's fine. Go ahead, do it. But don't do this for a communal riot, for goddamn. This is the worst thing that you can do. Be quiet. There are days on which you can be quiet. And I think a communal riot, while it is going on, is a very good time to just not talk. And with that, we come to the end of today's podcast.
All right. I did want to make one point, though. Arnab, is this the first major riots that we've had after the outbreak?
Major what? I'm sorry?
Riots and, communal tension post Twitter, Facebook and all that.
First of all, I think this is the first communal riot which has happened in... See, the first is if communal riots happen in Bengal in some village, nobody wants to... I mean, who cares, really, right?
Right.
Anything that happens in Delhi gets immediately amplified, picked up by the media because they're there. So that's why this is kind of the first social media riot that we have seen in a major place, because everything in Delhi gets amplified.
True. I mean, in all my innocence, I think last year or something, I told somebody that now that we have 4G and tweeting and live streaming and cameras everywhere, I actually stuck my neck out and told somebody that we have probably seen the end of communal violence and riots in India.
I also felt that, and I think if you notice this time, you'll find that there were not a lot of politicians out there publicly in vans going and instigating. That is because of cell phones.
But you did have the odd Kapil Sharma. You actually had rioters live streaming their
yes,
horrible...
But there's a difference between rioters live streaming riots versus actual MLAs and MPs, like what happened in 1984, for instance, or what happened in 2002, for instance. Mm-hmm. Actual big name politicians on the streets coordinating riots. That will, I am guessing, will never happen again.
So now there is a level of disassociation.
There is a level of disassociation. I'm not saying that they're not involved or they don't know, but they will not go out publicly and walk around as in 84, when people have seen. I mean, there's like hundreds of people have seen people like walking around who are now chief ministers. So those things will not, I believe, happen anymore. That part of it will be gone. But then, you know, there are people for whom this a riot is essentially, I mean, for some of the people who were recording, this is like a glorified TikTok video. It is the same kind of impulse that makes people do silly TikTok videos. They're doing it for virality. So in a way, I think that the TikTok generation and the desire to, I remember seeing a TikTok video where this very, very, like very rural person, this lady was saying, "Mere bete ka TikTok viral bana do." So that part of it might actually be instigating more egregious acts of rioting because of the desire for infamy, for people who will never otherwise have even a second of fame unless they do this. So I don't think that is the thing. I think that the people who have further plans to get ahead in life, they will not want to be out on the streets where they will be captured for posterity. You go out for 5 seconds, somebody will take your video. I think the last politician who didn't realize it was Tapas Pal.
Right.
Last person who had forgotten or who didn't know that, you know, that just because he's giving a speech in some backwater of Bengal doesn't mean that their people in villages don't have phones that can record. That he thought. I don't think anybody will think that again.
Man. So I think I can realize your voice is already straining. So while you stock up more on liquids, I guess we'll call it a day.
Yes, again, the last thing I wanted to say is, again, I want to make an appeal to people. I want to make an appeal to people that, you know, don't, we all have our opinions. We all have our biases. And we will be there. All of us will be here tomorrow, hopefully, coronavirus willing. So please, this is a time for unity. This is a time for, this is not a time for divisiveness. This is, I know there is freedom of speech. That is, you can say whatever you want, but should you say what you want? It's important if you claim to love your country. You know, if you, for whatever nationalism, whatever it is, if you don't like the word, whatever it is. But the very least we can do, even if you don't like your country, let's just say, what you can do as a decent friggin' human being, as a decent human being, is to recognize pain on both sides. Recognize pain at the level of human beings. They're not even both sides. They just recognize pain at the level of human beings. Do not deny anybody's pain. Do not try to double guess or try to alt news anybody's pain. Just do not. Just do not do that. There's no, when somebody dies, there is no, once somebody dies, I presume that body doesn't have a religion anymore. It might sound a little over dramatic and theatric for some people, but there's no other way I can say it. It's, if you want to just be a decent person, keep your politics to the side for a second and just, you know, be silent. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything. But let's not try to divide this country. Let's not try to any more than it already is. And it is, if you want to say, if you want to speak, you can speak, but speak for everyone. And if you can't speak for everyone, then don't speak for anyone. Be quiet. Be silent, or speak for everyone, or do the best thing is speak, but don't point fingers. Maybe that's what we need. Again, you have every right to say whatever you want, but should you at this point of time? Food for thought.
All right, that's our show for today. And while our host recovers, let me remind you of one way to help him recover, and that's by heading over to his Patreon page and cheering him up with a pledge. And so until next time, take care all. Bye-bye.